Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 30. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Holiness can be frightful or it can be delightful. And God would have it so. God's holiness ought to unnerve us early on in our faith. Just like when we were little kids. I was talking to John yesterday and he said his dad didn't mess around. He took things seriously. He said, we're going to be shoveling some manure this morning. John told his dad, no, we're not. He said, I'm going down to play some pool with my buddies. He said, all right, let's go outside. And he gave him a thrashing, fist to fist, face to face, nose to nose, because his dad, he never knew it, he said. His dad was a boxer. And he was big at this point. He thought he could take him. He's 16 years old. Bam! Down he went, nose. Gets back up. He's mad now, he says. And the whole story unfolds. Four times he's knocked down. And he says, I guess we're going to be shoveling some manure. Do you know God will discipline us? When you're a child, you ought to fear your dad. But as you grow up, perfect love casts out fear. That's what it says in 1 John 14. There is torment in fear. But perfect love casts out fear. And that's in 1 John 4:18. God wants you to grow up in Jesus. He wants you to get to the point where you're not worried about Him dropping like in the cartoons, a safe on your head or a piano from above. You know, you're like, whoa. He wants you to get to the place where you understand He is for you. And if He's for you, no one can be against you. Meaning, you yourself can't even be against you. Because sometimes we're our own worst enemy, and sometimes we condemn ourselves, and we think, I can't do it. But God in His grace has given us manifold testimony and example that He Himself has the greater voice, the better opinion, the more relevant input to make in our lives. Because we can't trust our own. You know, your inner voice sometimes will tell you you're wicked, you're terrible, you're a failure and all that. And on the outside, it may look like that. Even on the inside, it may look like that. But then God comes back and says, you are loved. You are accepted. You are received. You are my child. I gave my son for you. God is so committed to you and me that as we see that in its clarity more and more, we begin to say, you know what? I need to stop being foolish. You know what foolishness is? It's acting as if there's no God. I need to stop being foolish. And begin to realize, because His voice keeps telegraphing to me through circumstance, through Scripture, and through experience, that He loves me and He's accepted me and I'm in, whether I feel like it or not, because my feelings are deceiving, my thoughts are deceiving, but His are always yes and amen. Now He says, sing. Now, you like that? He says, sing unto the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. We equate singing with buoyancy, right? Singing with buoyancy. A little kid. You should have seen my grandson in our Sunday school class. We let the doors open between the nursery and the class because they're big enough. And if they can need to be dealt with, they will be. But for the most part, they're pretty good running around. But that little guy, he's looking like a little cartoon this morning. He kind of actually came over to Craig and he's like putting his hand on his hand and reaching it to the donuts. So you know you want to get one, Dad. And he's running around one place. He gets over in the corner and the girls are all worried about him. He's got this little play phone. He picks up the phone. He says, hello. He's only two. He shouts hello. And he only started talking 2 weeks ago. He just started talking all over the place. The next thing you know, he came over to his dad and he squatted down and he had one leg up and he was going sideways. It was like a cartoon. I was just sitting there delighted. Do you know there's a buoyancy in innocence, isn't there? The only thing that'll take your song is sin. God has already cleansed you. God has already fixed you. And your song is sort of the dashboard idiot light. When the song diminishes, sometimes it's because there's sin in the camp. And we need to get that taken care of. God would have us have a song in our hearts. Even if we're not very good singers, we should be singing in our hearts. And making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Now, we've kind of taken that song that's inside and put it outside and said that's worship. No, worship is not singing at church as much as it is singing in our hearts all week long. That's worship. You go in and I'm up here, and if I lead a song, that's nice. We all can congregate and hopefully we'll all be on the same level in one sense. We can all identify with the words, but the reality is one song for somebody over here might be a different song that one would be singing over here. Some might be dying inside, needing to sing "It Is Well With My Soul." And somebody might be standing on the edge and thinking, am I saved or am I not? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. They just need to go back and remember that. Different people, different places. But he says, sing. And there's a buoyancy about singing. I want to suggest to you to think about flying. Flying. You know, you go through life and it's hard. And we only have a limited amount of time on this ball of dirt. But ours is to find a synchronicity. And this is something I worked out in my mind's eye. Of being harmoniously real. Inside. What I know of me. Outside, what you know of me. And other side, what God knows of me. If I can get all those three and keep them in order, my buoyancy will be good. And you know what that means? That's like when your kids are walking and you got two parents, one on either side, and they swing them and they go up about, you know, three or four paces for them. God gives you a little lift and a song gets you past the rough spots. He says, sing unto the Lord. And I want you to consider the concept of sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. And give thanks. Nothing will give you a lift more than going back and enumerating your blessings. You know, sometimes you start praying and you're feeling like, I got nothing to say. I'm so down. I'm so miserable. And so rather than starting in the miserable spot, may I suggest to you that you start with who God is? Just start thanking Him for who He is, what He's done, how He is, how He never changes, how He's never discouraged. He's never surprised. He's never beaten or defeated ever. Ever. And now you got something. Suddenly it's like, oh yeah, over here. See this pile on this table? That's my mess. And you can begin to talk about that because you know He already knows anyway. And suddenly when you bring it into the light, He says, I got just the thing for that. You know, I cut my head the other week working on my car, man. The wrench slipped and I'm pulling two against one to tighten two bolts together. One slipped and hit me right in the head. And we found just the right thing. It was called a butterfly band-aid. Because it split it a little bit. God's got just the thing. He's got just the thing for you. What are you messing with? What is messing with you? God's got just the thing. This is a great book. It's quick and powerful. It's alive. Quick means live. Not fast. It means alive. To quicken in the womb is to feel the baby move. His word is quick and powerful. The Bible says in verse 4 that we're to sing and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. And as I said, it can be frightful or it can be delightful. And I want to suggest too that as you think of that, that you understand that when you understand what holiness is, you understand it is multifaceted. Holiness means God is apart from us. It comes from a root word that means to cut. God is above us. He's separate from us. But because of that separateness being brought into play, it means that every one of His attributes comes ready to be unfolded upon you and me, meaning His love. Part of His holiness involves His love. God cannot deny the fact that He is love. He can't deny it. And the fact that He is above us shows us what love really looks like, because He doesn't compromise His love to accept us. He satisfies His love by letting Jesus die in our place. Somebody had to pay. Somebody had to pay. So Jesus said, I will go. And so what we see is we can delight in His holiness when we remember it, rather than thinking, you know, I'm afraid because His holiness makes me feel really dirty. No, we remember it fully. His holiness involves justice, love, acceptance, goodness, peace, gentleness, all the stuff. And we can rejoice in Him. Verse 5 says, for His anger endureth but for a moment. The word for a moment is a wink. It's like blinking. His anger endures just for a blink of your eye. Milliseconds in the grand scheme of things. It says, but in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. This is David's certainty. We have his strength, we have his certainty, and this is what I've learned. It's funny because I work with young men and older guys. The older guys, they understand at least the idea of taking some advice because they want to share it with the younger guys sometimes. But the younger guys sometimes don't think I need any advice. I don't need any. I got this. I know. The problem is if you take that disposition, you never grow and you don't get the goods. They used to say about this one guy at work years ago, they say, he's forgotten more about the trade than you'll ever know. He's forgotten more than you'll ever know. And there's something to be said for that. David is a man who would have forgotten more about walking with the Lord than we will ever know. See? So when we listen to him, we're getting something good. And he says, I've learned that his anger is just like a wink. It's just like a blink of the eye. But in his favor is life. Weeping. Yeah, you're going to have that. You know, this is a shadowlands. There's going to be more cloudy days than breaking through of the sun. More! Because this is a fallen, broken world. And the more you walk around, the more you see nonsense. The more you see evil prevailing. He says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Not just collecting yourself. Joy! Joy. Verse 6 says, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Most people cannot endure prosperity. That's a lot to take. Prosperity comes from a word that means ease and security. It means to be tranquil. And when you take it further, it means to be secure. It means to be successful, happy, prosperous, or be in safety. It is 1 Corinthians 10 that says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And we need to be careful about that. Because tranquility or prosperity sometimes makes us think we got this. We got a clicker for this, we had a clicker for that. We push a button, we get an answer. Our cars, they keep us warm as we drive through snowstorms. They keep us dry when it's raining because we're driving and making really good speed, even in those times. Everything about our lives is comfortable. I know many of you in this room remember when you had to get home and get out of the car and open the garage door. I'd always pull up and say, Linda, can you get that? No, I didn't. I might say it, but I wouldn't mean it. But it was kind of one of those days where everything was hard. There was hot days, and they were hot. Cars were not coming automatically with air conditioning, right? We remember this, but the younger generation is even more prosperous than we are because they don't even have an inkling of what I'm talking about when we get back there, some of the things far enough. But prosperity is a dangerous thing. It was Spurgeon who said prosperity has no built-in humbling agent for the heart of the human, whereas poverty does. We are humbled naturally by poverty. And so what I want to suggest to you is that we have David in a position of prosperity. He's gotten to the place where he used to say, and David went, and David went, and David went to war. And then it said, David sent to war. And when he sent, he was at home tearing alone, looking over the top of his house. And he sees Bathsheba. He should have went instead of sent. But because he didn't, in his prosperity, he said, I shall never be moved. And so that became a downfall for him. And what we see here now before us is David's supplication. We've seen his strength. We've seen his certainty. When he told the people what they need to do, now we see his supplication. He says, in my prosperity, verse 6, I said, I shall never be moved. And verse 7 says, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. And it says, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. You remember David saying in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, when I was silent, his hand was heavy upon me. He says, I was troubled here. And this is perhaps very much what we would feel if we were walking contrary to our Father, troubled. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.